Good afternoon. My name is Tamika, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Public Opinion on Energy Developments in the West. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Ms. Anne Schaup. You may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Anne Schaup, Associate Director of Media Strategy at the Center for American Progress. Thanks for joining our press call releasing new polling data on energy development and land conservation in the West and announcing the launch of the Equal Ground campaign. Just a reminder that this call is being recorded, and by being on the call, you consent to being recorded. If you have any questions after the call, you can reach me at ashoup@americanprogress.org. I'll now turn the call over to John Podesta, Chair of the Center for American Progress.
Thanks, Anne, and thanks to everyone for being on today's call. On the phone today are Jeff Guerin, the head of Heart Research Associates, Melissa Watson, Vice President for Conservation at the Wilderness Society, Gabe Vasquez, who's an Executive Vice President of a technology company in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Duane Zavadil, Vice President of Government and Regulatory Affairs for Bill Barrett Corporation. The Center for American Progress asked Jeff and his team at Heart Research Associates to look at how Westerners are seeing the recent oil and gas boom and its impacts, and to get a better sense of the public's priorities for public lands, and that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We undertook this project because we suspected that there might be a growing disconnect between the ongoing drill-baby-drill approach to public lands management here in Washington and how Westerners themselves would like to see their public lands managed. One of my proudest accomplishments of my tenure as President Clinton's Chief of Staff was working with the President and then Secretary of Interior Bruce Babbitt to help protect our public lands. President Clinton protected more land in the lower 48 states than any president since Teddy Roosevelt. That's because he understood that wild places were not just engines of economic growth for rural communities and outdoor recreation industries, but helped forge our national character. He was not alone, of course, in that conviction. For decades, both the Congress and successive administrations under both parties worked to balance the leasing of public lands for oil and gas development with the permanent protection of national parks, monuments, wilderness, wildlife refuges, and our great outdoors for future generations. But the last Congress was the first since World War II to not protect a single acre of public land as wilderness, a national park, or a monument. President Obama has taken some steps in the right direction, including establishing Rio Grande del Norte in northern New Mexico as a national monument, but the administration is still leasing off public land oil and gas companies far faster than they are protecting it for the public. A CAP analysis showed earlier this year the president in his first term leased 6 million acres of public land for drilling, more than 2.5 times the amount of land that has been protected on his watch. Oil and gas companies now own the right to drill on more than 37 million acres of public lands. That's out of balance. As Jeff Guerin's research suggests, this approach is out of touch with where Westerners are as well. Westerners have two overwhelming priorities for public lands: protecting them for future generations and making sure there's good access to outdoor recreation and places to hunt, fish, camp, and hike. They also think that energy development can be and should be paired with land conservation. They want both. They want balance. It's clear that the American people's all-of-the-above strategy includes meaningful action to protect America's land and water. That's why, with the help of Jeff's research, we're launching a new campaign to help right the balance and get conservation back on equal ground with drilling on public lands. Melissa will talk about more about that campaign in a minute, but first, let me turn it over to Jeff for the findings of the poll.
Thank you very much, John. We conducted research on behalf of CAP and its partner organizations. We started with focus groups in Fort Collins, Colorado, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. But most of what I will report to you today comes from a survey we conducted in early May, between May 2nd and May 10th, with 993 registered voters in 9 Western states. Those states included Colorado, Montana, New Mexico, Oregon, Arizona, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, and Wyoming. Five of the nine states were won by Governor Romney last fall, four by President Obama. And the total line reflects these nine states weighted together in their proper proportion relative to the size of the electorate in each state. One of the things we were curious to know is what are the public's priorities for public lands. And in our research, two clear priorities stand out for about two-thirds of all voters. They say permanently protecting and conserving public lands for future generations is a very important priority, and ensuring access to public lands for recreation is a very important priority. Those really cut across party lines, and particularly on the issue of ensuring access to recreation to public lands is important with all groups of voters. Indeed, of the various things we measured on this scale, access for recreation was particularly important to Republican voters. Just in relative terms, we asked about several other things, and these two items of protecting and conserving public lands for future generations and ensuring access to public lands for recreation really stood out above all other possible priorities, including ensuring oil and natural gas resources on public lands are available for development. 30% considered that to be a very important priority for public lands, so far less than the number who put a priority on those other items I mentioned. We also asked respondents if there are particular places or that ought to be off limits for drilling and for oil and gas development. And here, three things really stand out, where you get half of all voters saying they ought to be off limits. Those include national parks near places where people live, so in public lands that abut communities, and then water sources. And that's true across the nine states where we surveyed. I want to emphasize that the public believes that it is possible, not just possible, but important to both preserve and protect and conserve public lands at the same time that we develop domestic energy sources for our country. In fact, by 66-23, people say that we can and should do that, as opposed to putting a more single-minded priority on domestic energy development. And again, that tends to be true across demographic groups and across political groups, so that the majority of Democrats, Independents, and Republicans say that we can and should protect and conserve more public lands at the same time we develop domestic energy sources for our country's future. The concerns that people have about what's currently happening on public lands relate much less to the fact that there are too many restrictions on oil and gas development, and people are much more likely to express significant concern about oil and gas development in places that could create environmental hazards for neighboring communities, drilling in environmentally sensitive areas, and drilling in places that should be protected from outdoor recreation. Each of those are rated as major concerns by respondents, far more often than concerns about restrictions that are placed on oil and gas development on public lands. And on this basic premise of the campaign that you'll be hearing more about, that the center of gravity in the West on these issues is that oil and gas drilling and permanent conservation ought to be put on an equal ground and an equal footing. 55% of all voters out west say that and feel that way. To the extent that they want one being getting the preference over the other, it is more on conserving and protecting lands than on opportunities for oil and natural gas drilling. But the real center of gravity across the West and again across party lines is that there ought to be an equal footing for these various endeavors. Let me just finally say that we measured support for a series of public policy proposals related to the public lands and found great and broad and deep support. So, for example, 78% of voters in the West strongly favor setting aside some of the money collected from oil and natural gas drilling on public lands toward repairing any damage caused by the drilling to land, fish, and wildlife habitat. 63% say strongly favor putting aside some of the money for the development of new, clean, renewable energy technologies. 61% strongly favor setting aside some backcountry areas for hiking, hunting, and fishing that are closed to oil and gas development. And most importantly, 57% not just favor, but strongly favor protecting and preserving more of America's most important natural and historic treasures permanently as national parks, national monuments, and national wildlife refuges. So the bottom line from all of this research is that there is a real commitment to protecting public lands in the West, and there is a real conviction among Western voters that the protection of public lands ought to be put back on an equal footing with the energy development on those lands. So let me turn it back to you, John.
Okay, and we'll next hear from Gabe Vasquez.
All right, thanks, John and Jeff. My name is Gabe Vasquez. I'm Executive Vice President of Life Support Medical here in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and that's just a little bit south of Albuquerque. The research that Jeff and his team have made, is critical. I think it's very important. I think it aligns with what we're seeing and hearing out here, at least in southern New Mexico and other parts of the West. A little bit about our company. We're about 3 years old. We provide home safety medical technology. The founder of the company actually moved from California out here because the cost of doing business was a little bit less, and he had actually stopped by Las Cruces once before and loved the landscape, fell in love with the environment, and ended up moving this and another company down to Las Cruces. So we're growing fast. One of the main reasons we're able to attract some top talent as we're expanding now is because people, they recognize this landscape. They want to be here. They have opportunities to do outdoor stuff like biking, hunting, fishing. New Mexico, I think we have a little bit of all of that. Overall, I think outdoor recreation, according to the latest study I saw, it's about a $646 billion economic engine in America. We certainly want a piece of that here, and we think the public lands surrounding us can be huge assets to businesses like us, and we definitely already use them as a recruiting tool. The focus for Washington seems to be now on maximizing oil and gas production from public lands, and I understand energy is important. We understand as a company that, for example, to manufacture our products, it certainly takes a diverse type of energy to get what we want out to the market. But we also want to see these places protected that surround us here in our headquarters, in the West, other places. We just recently saw that the president designated Rio Grande del Norte, which is northwest of Taos, beautiful country out there. In fact, I actually just got back from a rafting trip less than a month ago up there as a national monument. We're excited here because this new monument provides opportunities for fishing, hiking, and rafting, but it's also very far from us, so we kind of want the same economic benefit that the folks up north are getting. And in speaking with some of the business operators up there, particularly in the tourism business, the designation is already positively affecting their economy. A recent study that estimates that the designation up there at Rio Grande del Norte is going to create about 280 new jobs, 15 million annually in new economic activity. And I can certainly tell you that by how busy those raft businesses were up there at the Rio Grande, that they certainly will probably be adding jobs within the near future, especially for the summer season, as more folks go up there and explore the area. So, Rio Grande del Norte is not the only place that should be set aside for recreation and conservation. Here in Las Cruces, we have the Organ Mountains, which kind of frame the backdrop to our city, which is about 100,000 people. I think we actually just reached that milestone within the last couple of months, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Beautiful, beautiful organ. They call them the Organ Mountains because they kind of look like organ pipes. But really, everybody that's from this area identifies, part of their culture, part of their upbringing with these mountains. So they're terribly, terribly important to us. And our senators, actually, here in the state of New Mexico, both have been really big champions for the proposal. But they understand Congress is logjam. There's no new bills being, even heard regarding land conservation, which is kind of a shame. So we really want the president to act on this. We know that he's done some designations of monuments through the Antiquities Act. And we would love to see the same economic prosperity that the North is about to enjoy down here in southern New Mexico. Politically for us, the North and South, because most of the state government hubs are up north, we've always felt like we people kind of forget about us. We're in a place where we actually sit right between Albuquerque, El Paso, and Tucson and Phoenix. So we don't get a whole lot of recognition, at least as a metropolitan area. And we think this monument can really help put us on the map. So when I talk to my other friends here around the West, my employees, coworkers, other business owners, they talk about other places that should be protected. In fact, there's some places around here that are actually not in the monument proposal that folks are very surprised to hear that are not included, lots of historical and natural stuff that people are enjoying out here. So, I fully agree with these folks. I think it's time to put conservation on equal ground with development. And as a business person, I think it's incredibly important to have a balance between energy development, domestic drilling, but also public lands conservation and providing opportunities for the next generations, because I recognize how important it is. The kids out here that are going out on these tours to see some of these petroglyphs and some of these historical sites are really, really enjoying it. Just the looks that they get on their faces and the questions they ask is priceless. So I want to make sure that other generations are able to enjoy that. So that's why I'm on the call today. And thank you so much. More than happy to answer any questions that you all may have. And thank you, Jeff and John, for giving me the opportunity to talk today.
Thanks, Gabe. That's a very, very helpful perspective. Next, we're going to hear from Duane Zavadil from the Bill Barrett Corporation, an energy producer.
Thank you, Mr. Podesta. And again, I'm Duane Zavadil. I work with Bill Barrett Corporation. That's a Denver-based company with a long history of developing oil and gas on public lands. Between Bill Barrett Corporation and its predecessor, Barrett Resources, I've been doing public land work for an energy company for over 20 years. As an energy developer looking across the West, I also see tremendous opportunity for oil and gas development and conservation of special landscapes. But I also see a system currently that throws the conservation community and the energy and energy development into conflict. Where public land use is more clearly defined, I believe we could alleviate that conflict, and most importantly, we could achieve more of both, that is, energy production and conservation. That would be a true win-win for the American public. The current approach to public land oil and gas development is broken and really does not work for anyone. That might stand in stark contrast to the perception that that there is a successful drill baby drill going on, but developers like ourselves no longer have certainty regarding the ability to develop the leases that we've taken, and the seemingly random nature in which leases are offered by the government also confounds the conservation community's efforts to see special areas protected. Kind of in a nutshell, BLM will lease lands that have those special characteristics rather than recognizing that they ought to be candidates for development, which then makes it much more difficult to conserve them. But what the public gets is less of both oil and gas development and the efforts to conserve those landscapes are stymied by perpetual conflict. There is an opportunity to have robust energy development on public lands and enhance conservation. What I envision is much like what was accomplished with a project of ours in eastern Utah called West Tavaputs. It was through a dialogue with the Southern Utah Wilderness and the conservation community that we came to understand the wilderness values that they sought to protect. And likewise, the conservation community came to understand the oil and gas resource and our shareholders' perspective. And in spite of significant resource challenges, really running the gamut from archaeological treasure to wilderness character, a compromise was ultimately found. We arrived at what we believe to be a win-win for energy development and for conservation. Lands were effectively designated for oil and gas. Lands were effectively cleared, or there was the way was cleared effectively for subsequent conservation for wilderness purposes. And there is a place then for each conservation here and oil and gas there. And I believe that something like that is possible on a landscape scale across the West.
Thanks, Dwayne. That was excellent. And I'm now to turn it over to our final speaker, Melissa Watson, who will describe the campaign for Equal Ground. Melissa?
Thanks, John. Again, Melissa Watson. I'm the Vice President for Conservation at the Wilderness Society, and I'm based in Durango, Colorado. What Gabe said a minute ago, along with the research that Jeff and his team have done, really matches our experience working on the ground throughout the West, where we see a growing divide between the push to open more public lands to oil and gas drilling and Westerners' strong desire to protect more special places as part of a balanced approach when energy development occurs. For example, in the last few years, we've seen strong bipartisan support for protecting places from the North Fork of the Flathead River area just west of Glacier National Park to the Wyoming Range outside of Jackson to the Thompson Divide here in Colorado. So today we're announcing the launch of the Equal Ground campaign. The Wilderness Society is pleased to join with our partners at the Conservation Lands Foundation, the Center for Western Priorities, and the Center for American Progress in this effort to illustrate to Congress and the administration the strong public support that exists for restoring the balance between conservation and development on our public lands. We'll have more announcements about the Equal Ground campaign throughout this summer, but I'll note a few things here today that we're doing at the outset. First, working with local partners, we're doubling down in our push to protect more places that are at risk in the West. And there are many deserving legislative proposals that Congress needs to act on, from protecting the Oregon Mountains in New Mexico, as Gabe mentioned, to conserving Browns Canyon in Colorado. Second, we will be highlighting some places that are just too special to drill, and will actively work to guide development away from those special areas toward lands with fewer conflicts, as Dwayne was describing, at the same time ensuring that drill rigs don't end up on the doorstep of special places like Dinosaur National Monument in northwest Colorado. Third, we'll be putting forward a set of policy solutions next month that will be designed to help strike the right balance between drilling and conservation and build on several of the ideas that Jeff's research shows have strong public support that he detailed a few minutes ago. And then finally, we're going to be calling public attention to the need for balance on our public lands. And you can check out those first ads at equalground.org. Most importantly, though, we have people power. The voices of business owners like Gabe, veterans, sportsmen, and Western communities that want to grow their economy, create jobs, and protect their Western way of life for future generations. They are hoping Washington will listen and put conservation back on equal ground with drilling. Back to you, John. Thanks.
Okay, I think that concludes our speakers. Operator, if you could open it up to questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Andrew Vestasia of Politico.
Doing the call. I just had a couple of questions about the details of this campaign that you're announcing. How much money is going into this campaign? And I know that you said you're not going to unveil the policy specifics until next month. But is there kind of a broad outline for how some of these policies would work? I know there's been proposals in the past to put aside so much land for every acre that is drilled. It's kind of want to get a better sense of exactly what you guys are pushing here when it comes to policy.
Melissa, do you want to start, and then I'll follow up?
Sure. In terms of some of the policy pieces that Jeff actually outlined several of the ideas as part of his research. First and most important from our perspective is advocating for the additional permanent protection of wild public lands, either through congressional action or through executive action with the president if Congress doesn't act, as we know that they haven't for the last several years. Additionally, we'll be looking to the administration to work with them to do a series of actions to create interim protection for places through a series of administrative designations, protecting backcountry areas, keeping them open to hunting and fishing, but closing them to drilling, and then also some more specifics around how to direct some of the money from oil and gas development on public lands to mitigate damage to water, wildlife, and land. So those are a handful of the examples that we'll be providing more specifics on.
Jeff, do you want to add a word on the public attitude about those things?
Well, the point I want to really emphasize from my earlier comments is that these are all policies that the public and the Western public favor, and the numbers I gave were not just people saying that they favored them, but on a multi-part scale. These are the far end of the scale, people who said that they favored them strongly. So we're talking about things where there's not just support, but intense support from three-fifths or more of the Western public.
With respect to the first part of the question on the size of the resources, of course, we don't have the Koch brothers backing us up, but all of the organizations are committed to putting substantial resources into this campaign. And I think, as Melissa mentioned, we see that the strength of grassroots built around business owners, around sportsmen, around Western communities themselves is the real calling card we bring to this campaign. And I think all the organizations represented will ensure that their voices are heard both in their own communities and here in Washington. Next question.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star one. Your next question comes from the line of Phil Taylor of Greenwire.
For taking my question, this might be best for Duane at Bill Barrett, but I was curious, are there any current national monument proposals or conservation proposals that the oil and gas industry has endorsed or would be willing to endorse? And are there any, of these areas, are there any that would put significant amounts of mineral resources off limits?
I'm not able to address specific proposals and no conflicts with parks and monuments immediately come to mind. I think our industry is not principled in I don't want to make it sound we're unprincipled, but it really is a matter of providing for business certainty. We're not in the policy of promoting wilderness or promoting better access outside of that. It is really about providing some degree of predictability for our shareholders and for our stockholders, and in that regard, I think there are opportunities for agreements of the sort that I described with Tavaput. So, to answer your question very generally, I think you would find support from industry, or certainly a lack of objection given, you know, kind of the lack of involvement in those sorts of things for broader designation or additional designation of for conservation.
Okay, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much again for joining us. The audio for this call will be on our website shortly. If you'd like the audio or you have any follow-up questions on the polling or the Equal Ground campaign, you can reach me by email at ashoup@americanprogress.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you all for participating in today's conference call. You may now